And now, fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
And Main Street's whitewashed windows, vacant stores. Seems like there ain't nobody wants to come down here no more. They're closing down the textile mill across the railroad tracks. On and says he died, boy and boy, and they ain't coming back to your hometown.
In 2012, the Wausau Paper Company mill in Brokaw shut down, leaving 450 people out of work and saddling a handful of residents in the once proud company town with millions of dollars of debt. I'm Glenn Moberg. It's been a long road for Brokaw and its surrounding communities. Under Wisconsin state law, a village cannot declare bankruptcy. It can only dissolve and transfer the burden of its debt to the townships from which it was drawn. When Brokaw dies, the debt becomes the responsibility of the newly created Village of Maine and the town of Texas. Residents of Maine voted to incorporate into a village in December of 2015, in part to protect the community's land and its tax base from annexation by the city of Wausau. The city of Wausau filed lawsuits in response. Our guests today are Betty Hainish, president of the Village of Maine, Keith Roosh, the administrator who oversees the cooperative boundary agreement between Maine, Texas, and Brokaw, and State Senator Jerry Petruski, who twice inserted measures into two state budgets to help the new village. Last week, the governor signed his measure that would give Maine just under $3 million over 5 years. You'll also hear comments today from Wausau Mayor Bob Mielke and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. As always, we invite you to join the conversation. If you've got questions for our guests, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our website. That's wpr.org/route51. And before we get going, a caveat, I am a resident of the Village of Maine, but I also own a retail business in downtown Wausau, for what either of those is worth. All three of you, how much of a shock was it in December of 2011 when Wausau Paper announced it was closing the Brokaw Mill and 450 people would lose their jobs? Betty, let's start with you.
Well, we were not involved with Brokaw a lot at the time, but of course a lot of our residents, the city of Wausau residents, and of course the majority of Brokaw residents worked at the mill. So it was a great employer for this area. And so any of us that knew of it knew it would be devastating for Marathon County.
Keith?
Well, I think it wasn't necessarily a shock that it was going to close. It was definitely a disappointment. It was such a big impact on the local economy. When the mill was actually purchased, I think it was understood that the entity that did buy it would eventually probably close it. So being shocked that it closed wasn't really necessarily a shock. Certainly was a disappointment, and the value to the communities that had people that were employed there was certainly great.
Jerry?
Yeah. I probably, was surprised like everybody else when the final, word came out. But I think going back when they shut down the pulp mill, I think that was kind of the beginning of that whole process happening. And the thing, it can be devastating for the community. You know, along the Wisconsin River, we've had a large footprint of paper industry for as long as you and I have been around, Glenn. And that has been a mainstay for so many families because their father worked at the mill, the sons worked at the mill, and in cases their grandfather even worked at the mill. And that whole way of life has, basically changed. And, there's no easy answers in any of this. But I think if people pull together, look for ways that they can build a better situation for all the communities that are around, then that's what we have to focus on.
Well, Brokaw grew up as a company town at the turn of the last century. The reason for its existence was Wausau Paper. Homeowners actually had language in their deeds giving the company the first right to purchase when they moved out. And it was a prosperous paper mill, yet it was driven out of business pretty much by an aggressive New York hedge fund called Starboard Value, Jerry.
Yes. I think something else that you just said is really important to talk about. Everything within the village was kind of looked at as a way to help the mill. You know, the water system that was there, the sewer system, it was built to accommodate the needs of the paper mill. And with the paper mill not being there, of course, that created other problems for the community because the system was bigger than what they needed, whether it was water, you know, sitting in the lines too long before, you know, usage came and things like that.
And Wausau Paper was able to sell its mills in Rhinelander and Mosinee to new operators, but Brokaw, you know, no such luck. We had no buyer. The jobs were gone forever. And then we knew that the village of Brokaw was probably going to have to dissolve. And, Keith, it not only lost all of that tax revenue, but its 200 residents had to pay $10,000 a month for water service from the city of Wausau.
Correct. It, you know, the system that was originally put in to service the village, once they understood that the water supply was contaminated, was way over-designed. So the size of the piping, as Jerry had mentioned, you know, the water takes roughly 29 days to get from the city up to the village of Brokaw. So in the summertime, it gets contaminated. And so the lines need to be flushed. In the wintertime, it freezes because you don't have enough flow. So those components really put a lot of strain on the village because at the time the mill is gone, you cannot operate that system efficiently or effectively.
And Betty Hainish, now all of this debt, all of those problems are going to be acquired by the new Village of Maine.
Yes. Thanks to Senator Petrosky, he authored some special legislation that allowed us to go through an expedited incorporation process. And that was a very important tool for Maine because when we heard in July of 2014 that they were prepared to dissolve, go through the dissolution process, Maine and Texas just had a, you know, we just found out this news and it was very abrupt and very little time to prepare. And now what do we do? We're faced with this looming problem. And
yeah,
how do you resolve it? And so thanks to Senator Petrosky, he gave us this very important tool of incorporation. And that was the start of what got us to where we are today.
Well, there was the tool of incorporation. But most recently, Jerry, you and Assemblyman John Spiros put a provision in the state budget that will give $583,000 a year to Maine and Texas over 5 years. That's just under $3 million. Why did you do it?
Well, I think our job is to try to solve problems and to get Maine on a playing field where they can prosper and grow. Going back to what was said here about dissolution, that whole process, what it is that a village that goes through dissolution, their assets and liabilities get transferred to the original boundaries that used to be there before the village was there. And so it would be transferred to the town of Maine at the time and the town of Texas. Now, these people had no voice in creating any of that debt. All of a sudden, they have to absorb all that. And to drive those tax rates, you know, right into the sky for those people living there, that isn't a fair situation. So our goal all the way along was to try to find ways that we could bridge that gap and make those communities viable in the marketplace, not only by holding the tax rate down, but, you know, it's up to them now to look at economic development and all that. And I think with the process that we did, coupled with the money that came from the federal government, from the USDA as part as a grant and part as a low-interest loan, along with this $3 million, I think will take them a long way towards being viable as a community and viable to get businesses to locate there, to develop a jobs base, and you know, everything else that goes with that.
How do you respond to people who say this is a bailout for Brokaw?
Well, actually, Brokaw will actually fail to exist. It will not be there anymore. It will be the Village of Maine. The town of Texas will still be there. And I think we will get them to a place, hopefully, with what has been done so that they can grow and prosper. And it can be a beautiful place to locate, a beautiful place to work. We're looking and focusing on the future. And, yes, it's our job to try to solve problems, to right the wrongs as legislators. And I'm really happy that I had Representative Spiros to work with. This was important to get this done because the village also needs to move forward.
Keith?
And Glenn, I was going to interrupt a little bit because one thing that we need to make clear is that it's not really a bailout at all. Number one, the investment that all three municipalities have to put into the process greatly exceeds the monies that we are going to receive. But the money that was in the state budget right now is a benefit not just to Maine, although the wording is for Maine. It is a benefit for all the members of the Cooperative Boundary Agreement. So that money is a benefit for a large chunk of northern Marathon County. So it's really a big benefit and a boost to be able to get the three municipalities on a place or at a place where we can move forward in a positive manner.
So you're saying that the money you're getting isn't enough to address all the problems that you face?
No.
Betty?
Absolutely not. We received that USDA rural development. It was $2.9 million in a grant and $1.2 million in a loan.
Now, that was something that Senator Tammy Baldwin pushed, correct?
That is correct. And we are very grateful for Senator Baldwin's help in that. That kind of helped us turn one corner. Now, Senator Petrowski helped us get around the other corner, and hopefully we'll come full circle in a short period of time. But the 4.1, that just addresses the water system.
And that, the money from the federal government.
Correct. And then there is, you know, there is so much left to do. There's a lot of we just received news that we got a $25,000 economic development plan grant. So we'll be working with North Central Wisconsin Regional Planning. And that goes along with what Senator Petrowski was saying, is that we need to focus on the future. We need to see some growth. We need to finish what Broco started. Because with the mill closing and selling to the hedge fund company, they lost $18 million of valuation in a very short period of time. So we want to grow Broco, that whole Broco area again, and with the help of our other cooperative boundary partner, Texas, we've been able to keep Broco functioning. We've been helping them with all of the administrative tasks. We've cut a lot of their costs. We're doing a lot of shared services for them. And it's just a really heartwarming situation for three communities to come together and work together to solve a problem that really none of us created.
Jerry, as we mentioned, it's the second time you've inserted something in the budget to help this process. In the budget 2 years ago, you inserted an item to make it easier for Maine to become a village. Tell us about that.
Well, it's just an expedited way to become a village. And, you know, it wasn't only Maine. There were other things in the budget for other communities also. But along with them, I also put in the provision for Maine. You know, the mention of other costs that are going to come along, I'm not sure that anybody really knows what could be under the surface. You know, I know that there are some contaminated wells that are going to have to be dealt with, and there's a lot of things like that that could come up in the future. But I think our goal has always been to make sure that this community is viable and that the future is bright.
Well, you got that item inserted in the budget, which would make it easier for Maine to become a village. And then you announced not only that legislative procedure, but you folks in the town of Maine at the time made it clear that you were going to form a village on July 9th of 2015 at a meeting in Wausau, a meeting that was also attended by Brokaw and Texas leaders and all of the members of the Wausau City Council. Jerry, you were there, correct?
I was there.
Tell us about that.
Well, I think the important part that I'll always remember is I think Mr. Milkey was president of the council at the time, and they said our goal is to work together, you know, for the betterment of the whole area. We're here to help.
Did it surprise you when the city of Wausau then sued the village of Maine over the boundary agreement?
Yes, of course.
And in a press release that you just put out, it says, quote, we hope that moving forward, all parties embrace that sentiment, working together for the benefit of the entire region. Was that line directed at Wausau City officials?
You know, Glenn, here's how I look at it. I know that instead of focusing on blame, because you turn on the TV or the radio nowadays, you hear a lot of that. We need to focus on solving problems. And I think united, we can be a force that we can accomplish anything. And my goal is to see that happen here in Central Wisconsin. You know, I grew up in this area. I love being from Central Wisconsin. You know, I want to live here and till I'm really old, you know. But I like the people here. I think we really have something special here. And I know that if people pull together, whether it be Wausau and Maine and Texas and all the other townships and communities that are in this area, there's great things that we can accomplish, including economic development to make this place the best. And that should be our goal. That should be our focus. Because you disagree with somebody on something, that doesn't mean that they're the enemy. Our goal has to be to accept the fact that we have a difference of opinion on some things. But in the end, our goal has to be to pull together. And that's for everything, not just for this issue with the village of Maine and Texas and Wausau. That's for everything we do here in Central Wisconsin.
We're going to accentuate the positive on this show, but not quite yet. I do want to get into some of the details of that lawsuit so that we can address some of the concerns. And Betty Hainish, you know, the folks on the Wausau City Council obviously feel that they've been wronged.
That's excuse me. It's a little hard to respond to because I believe, as Senator Petrosky believes, that we need to focus on the positive. This is a situation that was beyond anyone's control. The dissolution statute took place in 2005, where a municipality could not go bankrupt, and that, in essence, just forced Maine and Texas into this position where you have a village that Broco that was going to get divided in half. A portion would go to Texas, a portion to Maine. And how do you deal with that?
Let me just touch some of the bullet points from this Wausau lawsuit and have you respond to it. The city claims that there were illegally closed meetings during the process that kept your residents from understanding that if you became a village, they would no longer be able to annex to Wausau. Were there illegally closed meetings?
There was not. We did hold multiple closed meetings. We understood the process would be difficult to get through and get all the details put together for the incorporation process. But as mentioned, that July 9th meeting was actually held by the city of Wausau. It was noticed up as a discussion and possible action regarding the implications of the state of Wisconsin budget amendment provisions that allow the town of Maine to become a village. That was the city's notification for that meeting. Everything was out in the open on July 9th. Every meeting, and actually if you look at the lawsuits, when you look at the what they contest as meetings that were illegal, they do not contest the fact that the incorporation discussion regarding notifying the public for the vote itself, those meetings are not contested as being something that were illegal.
Now you had 83% of the village residents voting in favor of incorporation. Betty, did you try to disguise the fact that your goal was to keep Wausau from annexing land in the town of Maine to protect both your tax base and your southern border?
No, we did not disguise that. And as I said earlier, we were faced with this very difficult problem. Our intent never was to become a village. That was never anything on the horizon. But when you're faced with an issue that you don't have any other way to handle it, if we could not protect our tax base, we would not have been able to attempt to resolve any of the problems that we were faced with.
Well, the city of Wausau seriously considered trying to find a way to annex Brokaw, which was it was already supplying the mill with water, and a study commissioned by the Marathon County Board concluded that annexation by Wausau was the best course. You know, why not move forward with that?
Because when we actually had our intergovernmental meetings, and we had one in April and one in May with the city, and their thought process was as to over a 15-year period, to have Maine basically annex our Ward 2, which was 31% of our municipality, to Wausau to make them contiguous so that the DOA would approve a consolidation between Broco and Wausau.
So you would have lost a big chunk of your territory and your tax base if that happened.
That is correct.
In a press release on June 21st of this year, the city points to a number of landowners who want to annex to Wausau, and that the landowners did so because they can't develop their lands to their highest and best use without water services and sewer services. Keith, how do you respond to that?
We've heard that, I guess, accusation before. I want to touch base on one thing regarding incorporation and becoming a village. One of the components of that was our initial discussions on that were that there is a TIF district that has roughly just under $3 million, $2.77 million of debt, and we could not handle that as a town. So we did need to have that, and incorporation gave us a tool to be able to handle that TIF district. A town cannot have a TIF, so that came off as debt right away. In regards to the services that are supplied, we've talked to landowners on a continual basis. We had 8 informational meetings prior to our vote. We've made comments during those meetings that we will work with any landowner that needs to get services to supply a development should they need to develop their property. And the fact is that it's pretty common for municipalities to have shared services agreements where services are provided outside of their boundaries. The City of Wausau does it currently, I believe, with Schofield, Weston, and you know, most notably Brokaw. So the thought is that we're willing to work together to be able to provide services for landowners. Wausau would need to be a willing partner to be able to do that.
All right. Well, one more question, and then we'll move on. When the cooperative boundary agreement was revealed in February 10th, I believe, of 2016, it showed the new village of Maine extending to the east on its southern border by picking up a sliver of land in the adjacent town of Texas, thus preventing Wausau from not only annexing land to its north in Maine, but preventing it from annexing land in the town of Texas. Was that fair?
The town of Texas is a valuable partner to this process. We're worried about some of the same things that we were concerned about. That was a component of the plan that they requested that we include to be able to protect their boundary as well. So is it fair that's what the village or the Village of Maine residents wanted protection for themselves and the town of Texas residents wanted protection for themselves as well?
We're talking about the newly formed Village of Maine and the challenges it faces as it absorbs the dying paper mill community of Brokaw with Village President Betty Hainish, Boundary Agreement Administrator Keith Roush, and State Senator Jerry Petruski. I'm Glenn Moberg. We do want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a question or comment on our website, wpr.org/route51. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to make some news here with some comments by Wausau Mayor Bob Mielke. You're going to want to stick around for this. Here's Woody Guthrie.
There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. The sign was painted, said private property. But on the back side, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust cloud rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the Lee Ester News Fellowship, providing early career journalists the opportunity to learn hands-on reporting, editing, and broadcasting in a professional setting as part of the WPR News Department. Support also comes from the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau, presenting the 2017 Birds in Art exhibition, with all new artwork by 114 artists through November 26th. LYWAM.org.
From the tops of the buildings to the streets below, between the Wall Street banks and the empty homes, between the lines of the people standing all in a row, there's a crack in the gutter where a flower grows. Reminding me that everything is possible. Yeah, reminding me that nothing is impossible. You gotta live for the one that you love, you know. You gotta love for the life that you live, you know. Sing it, hey, 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 no matter how life gets today, there's just one thing that I got to say. I won't let the moment slip away.
Michael Frotti and Spearhead taking us into our next segment of Route 51 as we discuss the newly formed Village of Maine and the challenges it faces as it absorbs the dying paper mill community of Brokaw. Our guests are Village President Betty Hainish, Boundary Agreement Administrator Keith Roush, and State Senator Jerry Petruski. I'm Glenn Moberg. That phone number again, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a question or comment on our website, wpr.org/Route 51. The lawsuits by the city of Wausau over the cooperative boundary agreement have been struck down three times by Marathon County Circuit Court Judge Jill Falstead. First, she ruled that open meetings violations weren't sufficient to invalidate a vote to incorporate as a village. Next, she ruled that the city's arguments that it should be allowed to annex land in the new village were contrary to state statutes. She referred to it as, quote, an entirely novel concept in her May 18th opinion. And in a ruling in June, she said Wausau's claims of damages from the loss of its contract to supply water to Brokaw were, quote, hypothetical and speculative, and the city lacked standing in its attempt to overturn the boundary agreements. Betty Hainish, those court rulings must have come as a relief to you.
They were very much a relief. We all along felt that everything we had done was done properly. Everything was done with oversight and by our legal counsel, both from Texas and from Maine. So we felt we had done everything correctly. However, that was affirmation of the process.
Yeah, Glenn, I don't think we weren't surprised by it. It was an outcome we were expecting. And actually, of the two separate lawsuits the city of Wausau filed, one against Maine and the other against the state of Wisconsin for approving the CBA, there have been six.
And the CBA is the Cooperative Boundary Agreement.
Yeah, correct. There have been six rulings so far on components of each of those lawsuits, and all of them have been in our favor.
Still on June 21st, the city announced it's going forward with an appeal of the ruling that Wausau lacked judicial standing. Keith, what's your perspective on that?
Well, our perspective all along has been that the process that we took was we took due consideration with our attorneys and legal advice, and that anything that we did to proceed through the process was legal. The continuation of the lawsuits, given the fact that there have been six rulings in our favor so far, I guess surprise us to an extent. Certainly we understand the city of Wausau wants to protect their taxpayers, but you would hope that they would understand that, you know, our goal is to protect our taxpayers as well.
We're going to make some news here, I think. Yesterday morning, Wausau Mayor Bob Mielke responded to our request for a comment on the ongoing litigation. He said he decided to comment against the advice of the city's attorneys. We're going to play his response right now. It may surprise you.
I want to do whatever I can to extend the olive branch to the village of Maine and all involved. I have never liked this lawsuit. It is, frankly, something that I did inherit. It is not good for the image of the city. It's not good for the image of the village of Maine either. I still think there's a workable solution. Betty knows me. I know Betty. We do get along very well. She's a good person. She's just protecting her interests as, well, frankly, as I have to, too. But like I said, I'll do whatever it takes in order to try to get this resolved. I think everybody's suing one another, and getting in the middle of something like this is unneeded. Even I'm surprised at how long it's been dragged out. But I will do whatever it takes to try to extend the olive branch, as I have in the past on numerous occasions, to try to find a working solution for all of us. So, and if the lawyers don't like what I say, well, then so be it. Okay, just the same. You know, I want to try to find peace and a workable solution for all of us.
That's Wausau Mayor Bob Mielke saying he wants to extend an olive branch, saying he has never liked the lawsuit, saying it's not good for the image of the city or the village of Maine, that, quote, everybody suing each other is unneeded, that he's surprised it's dragged out as long as it has, and that, quote, if the lawyers don't like what I'm saying, so be it. Betty Hainish, your reaction to that?
I like to hear that. That is great news. It's been a difficult situation because Mayor Mielke and I have been to meetings. We've been friends, and it's tough knowing that you're being sued by your neighbor. He has told me all along that he is unfavorable regarding the lawsuit. However, he felt his hands were tied. So I know Marathon County has reached out to him and they'd like to do some mediation. Maine has always said that we would welcome that because we do want to move forward. This is not about just having all of these issues tied up in a lawsuit.
Jerry Petruski, you represent all of these communities in the state legislature. What's your reaction to what you just heard?
Well, the mayor and I do get together periodically and talk about, you know, issues that affect the whole area. You know, Bob and I are friends. So, you know, this sounds exactly like Mayor Mielke. And, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, a year from now we're going to look back at this and it's all going to be history and there'll be good things happening.
Keith?
You know, at the end of the day, we've always thought that a positive relationship with the city is a good thing. And we've been more than willing to talk. Betty has mentioned on a couple occasions the county has stepped in and offered mediation, which we've accepted. The city is not. If we need to have that positive relation, I think for the betterment of the whole of Marathon County and especially Northern Marathon County, it's great to have a community feeling where everybody can work together.
This is something I don't understand. It's a question that I brought up in a mayoral debate about a year ago. Wausau had 6 months from the time you announced that you were going to form a village, July 9th, 2015, to the date of that referendum when it actually happened, December 15th. Why during those 6 months didn't the city use that time to convince the property owners on its northern border that if they wanted to annex to Wausau, it's now or never?
Well, that's one of the questions that we have is the annexation petitions did come in after the actual vote. The one component of that process is annexation is driven by the landowner. It shouldn't be driven by a governmental entity. So for the city to actually go out and coerce or convince or talk to property owners to actually annex would be, I think, a violation of state law. So at the end of the day, it's really the question that we come up with is why were all the property owners signing annexation papers all at the same time, all after the fact? And, you know, how did that really come about?
Keith, your official title is Oversight Commission Administrator for the Cooperative Boundary Agreement. Explain that to us. What exactly does that entail?
Part of the Cooperative Boundary Agreement process was an oversight commission was established to kind of oversee how Brokaw ran and to determine and identify the areas where money would be spent because you have three municipalities contributing to running and functioning the village of Brokaw. So part of the process would be to manage where the money is going, what components of incorporation need to be finished, you know, with cooperation with Marathon County. So really the process of Brokaw being absorbed into the village of Maine, controlling, not necessarily controlling, because that's really done by Oversight Commission members, but working with the Oversight Commission to move that process through the steps it needs to take to finalize the end game.
What are the biggest challenges you face right now? Is it the water issue?
I would think that would be high on a priority list. There is a lot of infrastructure needs down in the village of Brokaw. The sewer system also needs significant attention. But the ability to be able to get water to the village of Brokaw that is, you know, in an efficient system that's quality water probably is right now the biggest step. We are currently in the process of multiple test borings on a couple of different locations to see what site would be best suited for a municipal well.
And this has got to happen before Brokaw dissolves, because when it does dissolve, that water contract with the city of Wausau becomes null and void, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Their specific language in their contract with the village of Brokaw prohibits them from selling any water to the village of Maine. So in the event of Maine taking over the village of Brokaw, technically the village of Brokaw would have no more water.
Well, so what happens to the water pipe at that point from Wausau?
Unknown at this time. It's an unknown.
So Wausau stands to lose from this too. You know, this is something that's affected all of these communities, Jerry. The entire situation is it's had adverse effects not on just on Maine and Texas, but also on the city of Wausau, the whole region.
Well, I don't know if the water is a moneymaker for Wausau or not. I have no way of knowing that. But, you know, back to what we were talking about before. If the tide rises, whether it be in Maine or whether it be, you know, in other communities there, everybody is going to benefit, because if it's jobs, people live in all those communities, and they happen to go to a certain place for a job. So everybody benefits. And so when the tide rises, all ships go up. You've heard that for years, Glenn. And I think it's more relevant now when looking at situations like this than just something you might hear on the news, you know.
You'd like to see economic development, maybe, turning that mill site into something positive.
I actually drove through there this weekend. You know, I think there's real possibilities there for the people, that presently live in Broca. But I think there's some real possibilities there of what the future could bring.
Plus, there's also the 26 acres that Broca has not been able to develop that was annexed from the former town of Maine. And we want to focus on doing something positive in that area also.
You're talking about some big plans for the northern part of Marathon County, Betty.
Yes. We've been working with Marathon County Park Director. We've been working with Kurt Gibbs. He's the chairman of the county board. We've been working with Administrator Carger. This has just been like a sounding board process the whole time, and that's what part of our closed sessions that supposedly were illegal. When all of a sudden you find out your neighbor is going to go through dissolution and you're going to inherit this tremendous debt, contamination, a bad water source, you have to spend a lot of time just trying to put something together that you think you can make work. And this is totally uncharted territory that Maine, Texas, and Broca were in. And I think we're the poster child for probably the state of Wisconsin for the dissolution statute. And so we cannot wait to see what can happen in this between our three communities, because as Senator Petrowski has said, it could be so positive for this whole region.
And I think the input that we're getting from multiple agencies, you know, we've gotten support federally, at the state level, at the county level, local communities all have been very positive. I think if we can start moving forward in just a real more of a positive motion, a lot of really good development could happen up there on a number of different scales, recreationally, industrially, however you want to look at it. There are opportunities that can really help move all of Northern Marathon County forward.
And I think one of the things that really needs to be looked at is you need to have a plan, no matter if you're the radio station or if you're local government or state government or business or whatever. You need to have a plan on where you think you'd like to be in 5 years and 10 years and 20 years. And I think without that planning, it makes it very difficult to achieve things. So, you know, I know that Betty is looking at all these things on where they'd like to be and how they're going to get there, defining what do they see for the future? Where is residential going to be? Where is commercial property going to be? Where is industrial or manufacturing or whatever? I think you need to look at all of those things.
We're talking about the newly formed Village of Maine and the challenges it faces as it absorbs the dying paper mill community of Broca. With Village President Betty Hainish, Boundary Agreement Administrator Keith Roush, and State Senator Jerry Petrusky. I'm Glenn Moberg. Again, we've got time to squeeze a phone call or two in if you want to give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a question or comment on our website, wpr.org/route51. We're going to take a short break. Here's Frank Sinatra with a song about overcoming big obstacles.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high. Time you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone looking to take a fall color tour via Wisconsin waterways, 220 West Broadway in Monona, or on the web at rutabaga.com. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollop, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollop, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Maytones, taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we discuss the newly formed Village of Maine, the challenges it faces as it absorbs the dying paper mill community of Brokaw, with Village President Betty Hainish, Boundary Agreement Administrator Keith Roosh, and State Senator Jerry Petruski. I'm Glenn Moberg. Got time for a quick phone call at 1-800-780-9742. Let's look at the problem briefly of these aggressive hedge funds like Starboard Value. They managed to acquire a significant stake in the Wausau Paper Company before anybody knew what they were doing. And when they were done with the company, it had sold its mills in Rhinelander and Mosinee and shut down a profitable mill in Brokaw, firing 450 people and devastating the community. Jerry, do you think they should be reined in some way, shape, or form?
You know, I'm not sure how you would do it. What I would really think could have made a really difference is if there would have been some type of maybe profit sharing where the workers at the mill would have had shares of stock. I think that could have made a complete difference in how this all played out. And, you know, I don't know what it takes on how you get there, but I think that was something that I think could have really been important. I know some of the mill workers there did have stock, but they had it more for knowing what the company is going on rather than investing in it for a long-term type, you know, retirement type
right.
deal.
Well, the managers of Starboard claimed they were maximizing shareholder value and that Wausau Paper could be made even more profitable by shutting down even the mills that were still making money and moving all of its operations out of state. The company ended up doing just that. Betty, is that how capitalism is supposed to work?
I don't believe so. But I'm old school, and I find that it's tough to understand because I come from a small family business background. You have all these people that are dedicated. You have a company, a corporation that is making money. They're making approximately 11% return on their money when they shut the mill down. Senator Petruski mentioned, I believe, earlier that when we saw the pulp mill close, we all knew that this was in the horizon. It talked about it for years. The Brokaw officials did a lot to try to encourage the mill to stay functioning. And at the end of the day, they devastated a community just to fill pockets of certain individuals. We were told that there were actually two paper companies that would have liked to have bought that facility and keep it in production. And so I think, you know, when you have a corporation that has dedicated workers and you're getting a lot out of this community, you should be vested in it and bring some return back, you know, give some return back to the community.
Well, Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced what's being called the Brokaw Act in the U.S. Senate, which would put some controls on the hedge funds. It now has bipartisan support from co-sponsor David Perdue. He's a Republican senator from Georgia. Here's what Senator Baldwin said last year at a meeting in the Brokaw Village Hall.
There is absolutely no question that the village itself is insolvent and will be struggling for many, many years to come. Main Street has to be able to fight back against wolf packs on Wall Street. This type of situation is intolerable. These wolf pack activist hedge funds on Wall Street are thinking about tomorrow and today and not the next generation. They've got to be reined in.
So the regulations would protect businesses from what Baldwin called their hedge fund wolf packs. Talking about identifying funds that are working together to acquire a company. The bill would also shorten the 10-day disclosure window for takeover attempts to 4 days, and it would require derivative disclosure to prevent investors from profiteering by secretly voting against the company's interest. Keith, do you have any feelings on this one way or the other?
Well, we were very appreciative of all of Senator Baldwin's assistance in trying to get the funding to help move forward in a positive manner. You know, how much control do we have over businesses that have a right to buy another business? I'm not sure about that. I know in this case and in this scenario, it was very devastating for the Brokaw community and by proxy us as well. So while we certainly appreciate, you know, the intent of that law, that how much can you really affect? How much change can you affect? Or how much can you really control?
Well, Jerry, we have a free market system. You know, to what extent do we meddle in that in order to achieve desired results?
Well, I'm not really sure what this particular piece of legislation would do. But I can tell you, Glenn, that look at the paper mill that we have seen close in the last 10 years. And it's been through the Fox Valley. It's been, you know, close to home here, of course, with Brokaw, but Portage County and Wood County. And a lot of what has driven this, yes, you can look at this hedge fund for Brokaw, but a lot of what's driven this is the marketplace has changed. You know, the computer has changed. People don't do a lot of the paper like you have laid out in front of you now. Mm-hmm. Like even in the state assembly, everything is on a computer monitor instead of having actually paper that you can hold on to. The emails, the banking, everything has changed so dramatically. The things that they claim are taking the place of making typing paper now are food containers, things for packaging food, those different kinds of specialty papers, at least that what we used to call specialty papers, now have taken the mainstream for paper mills. And I think the mills are adapting to these new products that they can manufacture and do. And, you know, it's taking over. But I feel bad about all the jobs that we've lost in central Wisconsin and in the Fox Valley because of those changes.
What is the future of that empty mill? It's got a lot of infrastructure in place. It's got buildings. It's got industrial electrical service. It's got a rail line running through it, a location right on the Wisconsin River. What can you see happening, Keith, to that old mill to make it a viable industrial or commercial piece of property again?
Well, currently, a company called Terex is in that facility. They're in the process of removing a lot of the infrastructure inside of the buildings to scrap that out. Not sure really what their long-term goals or plans are there, but if you look at that stretch of the river, I think Jerry had mentioned it, it's a beautiful stretch of river, and there's a lot of, I think, opportunity there to develop something that would complement that or that could use that as a benefit. So currently it's owned by a business that is doing scrap, and that's, I guess, the situation that we're in right now. But, you know, long-term goals would be to have something in place that would complement the natural beauty of that area.
Betty?
I will second what Keith said. It's, we have, at this time, we're just starting, and we're going to be working with North Central Wisconsin Regional Planning, and it is exactly what Senator Petrowski said. We have been, you know, sounding a few ideas back and forth between the communities, but we have to put a plan in place. We have to decide where we want commercial, what we can do with that beautiful Wisconsin River. We have a unique municipality. We want to stay a unique rural village, and yet we want to use especially the southern portion for something new, something exciting.
Jerry, you've got 15 seconds for the last word here.
Well, I think you've heard a lot today about the future of Maine and that whole community, and I think there's good things that can possibly happen, and I think the goal is for everybody to pull together and work towards those goals.
Thank you all for being with us today. We want to thank today's guests, Betty Hainish, Village President of the Village of Maine, Keith Roush, Oversight Commission Administrator for the Cooperative Boundary Agreement, and State Senator Jerry Petrowski. Thanks also to Wausau Mayor Bob Mielke and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin for their contributions to the show. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Bruce Springsteen, Woody Guthrie, Michael Franti, and Spearhead. Frank Sinatra, the Maytones, and John Mellencamp. Next week on Route 51, it's a meeting of the mayors with Mayor Bob Mielke of the city of Wausau, Mayor Mike Wiese of the city of Stevens Point, and Mayor Zach Brewink of the city of Wisconsin Rapids. We also want to welcome our new radio station to the Ideas Network, 101.3 FM Wausau. Please remember to pledge and pledge generously to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town. Little